Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, Coach Bad the Dumb, Throwback Thursday. Again, Throwback Thursday is 2016. Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. Whether that was good, bad, or dumb, we'll let history decide that. But we do have the good of the day today, which is...
Not good for everybody.
Okay.
Particularly for you Red Sox fans.
Okay.
But I found it good. And you know you might find it good as well, Tony.
Sure.
What I'm talking about is... ESPN is coming out with a new docuseries, The Captain, featuring Derek Jeter. I believe it's
this is like a seven episode series. There's a lot of episodes.
And what I'm most excited about, or was thrilled to see, was the giant billboard they put up across the street. I don't even know if it's across the street. Adjacent to, might be a better term, to Fenway Park.
That I thought was wonderful.
Red Sox fans may not appreciate it.
Of course
not. What a great flex.
What? Oh, man. Let's have some fun in sports, can we, without everyone getting all worked up? I have been to many, many Red Sox-Yankee games at Fenway Park in my lifetime, and I know that there are a lot of New Yorkers who get their hands on tickets and they come up to Boston to see the Yankees, especially in a weekend series. They are going to love it. They are going to love seeing it.
Yes.
They're going to yap about it. They're going to brag about it. They're going to go nuts about it.
Take pictures.
It'll be fun at Fenway Park this weekend, yeah.
You're going to see a lot of selfies from down below, people making sure they get the billboard in the background.
Ripping the hometown crowd.
And let's face it.
They invade a bit.
For ESPN, great advertising spot.
Of course, absolutely.
Because they probably have a billboard somewhere in like lower Manhattan. We'll never know.
Sure.
You can have it up at Times Square and we'll never hear about it. This one is making national headlines, so now, to tune in.
And I'm actually kind of glad that they did, because I kind of forgot that there was a Derek Jeter documentary that was coming up. So when I saw that in the news, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. They do have a Derek Jeter thing planned for later this month.
I don't really need to see much about his baseball career. I want to know how he kept it all a secret.
Yeah, I do too. His private life. I really hope this isn't just some sort of, and then in his rookie year, he did this. And then I really want to know some of the details in the clubhouse. Like what kind of man was he? Like, was behind the scenes, how did he react to certain things and react to certain teammates and situations?
Or later on when, you find out Alex Rodriguez is coming to the team. What?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm shortstop.
I think the thing about Jeter that was so, and you kind of alluded to it, was the fact that he was able to stay off the back page. But I also think he somehow, some way, and I don't know who guided him along this journey when he was young, because there have been plenty of New York athletes who have come in to New York and have not been able to get this accomplished, which was there was almost a sense of fear, because you kind of got the message that if you messed with that, you couldn't get the access you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like if you were the New York Post and you wanted, and Page 6 is probably one of its most important sections of the magazine, but the sports department needed Jeter too. So you had, if you had Cindy Adams going, have the dirt on Jeter's love life, left with three lovely ladies from, then Jeter goes, well, I'm talking to everybody but Joel Sherman. Right. And next thing you know, the Post is asking Cindy Adams, you got to back off the Jeter stuff. Like, we need our sports guys to be able to talk to Jeter. He somehow was able to get away with all of that.
I mean, it is amazing that someone like him, a bachelor in New York for all that time, and the most prominent name in New York City sports, right? Yep. During that time period.
Sure.
Name someone else who was bigger than him. And we never heard one major controversy.
Yeah, I know. Except
that he gave a gift basket to someone twice.
Someone twice.
I can't remember. It's a model.
You can't keep track, right? It's hard to keep track of those kind of things. But yeah, he did it with club owners too. He did it with club owners. Like, if he went to your club and you somehow got the word out that he was there, he never went back. And he didn't bring his people with him either. And word kind of got out. So you were dead. You were dead. He was that influential to get other people not to go. Like, he could tell Plexico Burris or whatever giant stars were at the time, don't go there. That don't go there. He calls people, and next thing you know, you got crowds outside. You can't trust them, and that you would be dried up. So he had so much power. By you had to do exactly what he wanted, or you wouldn't get what you needed from him.
It sounds very Frank Sinatra-ish.
Very much so. Very much
and I
so.
I wonder, I'm hoping they have that kind of a spin. You know, don't go full mafia, don't go full Italian music and stuff like that. It'll be cheesy, but, you know, have that kind of like, that maybe that correlation. Like, you know, there was a certain someone like that years ago.
Right. That's what he did. So I hope the documentary explores some of that.
Yeah, because if it's just baseball this, baseball that.
And no offense, I love The Last Dance. I love The Last Dance. But if it's done through the eyes of Jeter, where he's running the show and he's only letting you see what you want to see, then that's not gonna
Well, because he's a different character than Jordan.
Right.
Jordan doesn't mind being, hey, I'll go scorched earth. I don't care.
You know? I know.
You want me to throw this guy under the bus?
Sure.
No problem.
Yeah. Y'all think Gary Payton guarded me? Ha ha ha. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you the truth about Isaiah.
Exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Tony, Wimbledon did a good thing. They set up these quiet rooms, right?
Right.
And that was for people to, you know, maybe escape the heat, escape the crowds. It was for people, you know, they wanted a quiet place to go for a moment of prayer, or women who, you know, want to breastfeed.
Right.
But people are going to people, Tony. And we now have the Wimbledon High Club.
Oh, my God. I know. What a...
That's probably the cleanest way I could put it, right? Wimbledon High Club, if you get what up my drift. Not the Mile High Club, again, the Wimbledon High Club.
Let me tell you real quick. So my wife was in this car accident. She got hit by a car in a parking lot.
Right.
So we ended up hiring a lawyer to kind of help us with make sure we got covered for the medical bills and whatnot. And he was asking us a bunch of questions, right? And when we left the law office, I said to my wife, that's why we got the lawyer. I didn't even think of those things. Like, there was easily 7 or 8 of them that we never even thought of. That being said, aren't there people like the lawyer that are paid to go, guys, I know you think this is a good idea. However, let me just throw this out there. People are going to use it for this reason.
Yeah.
Like, where is that individual that comes in and where everybody goes, I didn't even think of that. Like, I didn't even know that was the case. Like, we didn't even think about that possibility. Because the guy who's responsible for that would say, here's the deal. While you can count on a couple of people doing that, here's what's going to happen. It's going to spread like a virus. That's what you should do. And people are going to wear it as a badge of honor. And then they're going to be lining up to do that exact act in your quiet area.
Yeah.
So just trust me on this. Once word gets out that a couple had a really good time in the quiet area, every couple's going to want to do that. And that's what it's going to be known for.
Yeah.
So the guy that wants to pray in there or whatever, or breastfeed, woman wants to breastfeed, they got to wait their turn.
Yep. They got to wait and hope that hopefully the man is a true man. It's a quick sesh.
Right. Yeah. My goodness.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
If you say, hey, we're going to have these closed off rooms. Now, the doors don't lock. Apparently.
That's even better.
But there is something that's, you know, I can't remember the English term that they use, but for us, it would be, you know, there would be something on there that says occupied.
Right.
So you know not to go in there. You know, and you know, I doubt people are like over indulgent, over, you know, loud or anything like that. But people have reported, like, yeah, you see a man and woman come out, you know, they're all smiles.
Yeah, that's right. I know. It's crazy. By the way, Hollywood tends to give us the image that act goes on in public restrooms all the time.
All the time.
And yet, I've never ran into one. Like, every public restroom I've ever went to. Did you really?
Yeah, I did once.
Remember Jerry Jones? Real quick, because I know we got to get to the dumb. Real quick, do you remember when the couple filmed themselves?
The dumb could be this right here, so.
Yeah, right. Jerry Jones had just opened the brand new stadium, right?
Yeah.
He just opened the brand new stadium, and a couple filmed themselves
christening
in the bathroom, one of the bathrooms, right? And I remember saying at the time that, so, and then they released the video. They sent it viral, right? That they had, you know, sex in the bathroom of the new stadium. But somebody said, oh, Jerry Jones is going to be livid at this. And I said, no, hold on one second. Think, I'm thinking outside the box. Is it possible that Jerry Jones could have seen that and went, well, of course they did. That's my fans. I built this. Like, that's what I expect them to do. Like, I expect them to do. This is the Taj Mahal of sports. Like, they think this is such a big deal and this place is so magnificent that they have to do that in the bathroom. And then my friend
comes out of it, we'll draft him.
Like, don't come out and encourage that. But I think privately he's like, yeah, hell yeah, they did. Of course they did. Yeah. Look what I built. Look at this place. Why wouldn't you? It's a cathedral.
I'm going to.
Right. Exactly. Like, I probably will. And then my friend was like, yeah, you know what? The more I think about it, I absolutely could see Jerry Jones kind of being proud of that.
Of course.
Right? Because that's what he is. That's what he does.
I mean, other people might not, but Jerry Jones would
Owners would be like, ban them for life. Yeah, Jerry I never want to see them.
Like, listen, I don't want this to turn into a brothel.
Right, exactly. But no. But privately,
I'm not
going to
discourage.
I'm not going to tell you not to. So, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, you know, I feel bad that this is happening, but this is kind of like the world that we live in. But Joey Chestnut feels like he needs to apologize.
I know. I saw this. I was protester. Sad.
I mean, listen.
He regrets putting him in the headlock.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? No, because for me, I look at this. You know, we talked about this on Tuesday. We were just shocked that you only made it to 63
right.
And then find out that you did this. And this just adds to your legendary status.
It adds to the amazing success of your achievement of winning the hot dog eating contest that you couldn't get to 75 because you had to pause to take down a protester. Now, listen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also, you know, there's like a small little apology to Vegas.
Right. Because
a lot of these bookmakers had to offer refunds.
Yeah, for the over-under. Yeah.
I get, you know, but don't apologize.
Now, listen, this when you're in that moment, right? Like in athletes, you hear this with athletes all the time too. You're in the game or something and somebody comes out of nowhere. The adrenaline goes through the, you don't know why they're there. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know why they're there.
Yep.
Like, so you react in a self-defense mode. You can't have time to process what you're doing. Here comes a guy jumping on the stage. He's not supposed to be there. He got through and he's not supposed to be there. And you don't know what he's got in his hand. You don't know if he's trying to kill you. You don't know if he's got a mask on.
Yep.
You don't know what is like, you need to react the way you don't apologize for this. Do not apologize this, because when you apologize, you make it kind of okay for people to do this in the future. Like, well, you know what? They may take us down, but they'll feel awful about it afterwards. And then eventually, over time, people won't do anything to these people. And you'll see them protesting all sorts of things. And it's dangerous, and it's scary, and it has to stop. And because you are going to get hurt. These guys are going to take you down. You see it at the Super Bowl. You see a guy run on the field, the players tackle him. They don't know what the guy has in his hands. Does he have a grenade? Who knows? Like, nobody knows. In this day and age, it's a scary world out there. So Joey Chestnut, don't add fuel to the opposition. Let them know that if they get on stage at the hot dog eating contest, that you're going to take them down and you're sorry, but that's self-defense and you got to do it. Don't apologize. Ridiculous. I hope nobody's demanding. I hope no group is demanding he do it.
And I don't think there's a group out there. I think it's just
good-natured heart.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, I hope everyone he comes across when he is apologizing, people saying exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
You know what? Next
Where was
time,
security, by the way?
God, laxed, right? My right? Lord.
There's judges in front of them. There's not. It's not like there's a whole. There was two protesters ran on the racetrack at the British Grand Prix over the weekend. Like ran on the racetrack. Now, luckily, the cars were like in a slowdown sort of like mode. They were in a. Safety measure, but they still ran. And that was the first reaction from people. Like, I know it's a 3 mile track, but how did this happen? Like, how did they get through? Like you got fences and then another fence and then a barrier. How do they walk on the track in the middle of the race? How did a guy with just a bunch of people on a stage with judges right in front of the stage in kind of a crammed area, how did he get through to get on stage? Like, when you notice a guy in a mask, like, a number of feet away coming at you. I don't know. I don't know what the security is like for the Shea brothers going to get on that. But by the way, I was thinking about I know you want to show these people on camera. Good job by the ESPN crew to make sure they cut that out and because it didn't even look like it was cut or disrupted or anything. It just kind of rolled with it, and then it occurred, and we found out later it happened. So good job. All right, well, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We got Jerry Palm coming up this hour. We'll talk college athletics with him. And then coming up, more thoughts on Baker Mayfield going to the Carolina Panthers as we continue with Wake Up Call.